Matthew chapter 9, please. Gospel of Matthew chapter number 9. If you haven't been blessed thus far, your blesser's broke. And in serious need of repair. Glad all of you are here tonight. We praise the Lord for his goodness. Thank God that I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. Amen. That's the only plan God has for the redemption of mankind is the blood of Jesus. The only one he still honors today is the blood of Jesus. I appreciate that. Matthew chapter 9, the Bible says, verse 1, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. Behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed and go into thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. And when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Eternal God, our Father, we do thank you and bless you for the opportunity to be in the house of the Lord tonight. How we thank you for each one that has taken of the time and opportunity to be here. And Lord, as humbly as we know how, we ask you to touch us and help us. Lord, we need that holy unction that only you can give. I can do nothing within myself but make a mess out of things. But I serve a God that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think. And so I'm asking in the name that is above every other name for the touch of God to be real, to be present, to be powerful among us. I pray to you, Father, if there is one in this house that has never been born again, may this be the good hour. When the Holy Ghost of God and conviction and latch hold of their heart, draw them out of the darkness that they're in into your marvelous light, that they might receive the Lord Jesus Christ, be born into the family of God, and inherit everlasting life. God, touch us, we pray. Make us to be a blessing. And we'll thank you and praise you and world without end for what you accomplish. In Jesus' name, amen. The Greek word tharseo means be comforted or cheer up. Now, before you get the idea that I'm something that I'm not, I want you to understand about the only Greek I know runs a restaurant in Bryson City, North Carolina. But I have studied enough to know that this word, tharseo, means be comforted or cheer up. Jesus used this same word at least five times. We find it in the Scriptures. Don't get too excited. I'm not going to preach on all five of them tonight. But I believe that you and I who live in the United States of America right now today have reason to be cheered up. Amen. And I'm not going to get on political soapbox, but I'm thanking God he's gone. I had a prayer for our former president. We were encouraged by the word of God to pray for him. I found a verse of scripture in there that I could pray for our former president. It said, let his days be few and someone else take his office. And that prayer was answered, and I'm glad for that. And I'm thankful that it went the way that it did. And I appreciate the things that are being done that are heading back in the right direction. Heading back toward somebody with some sense. Amen. Somebody with some morality. Somebody with some desires for things to be made like they used to be. To make things great again. I'm not saying that everything will be made great again. I don't believe that. I do think, though, right now we got a little space of grace that we can pray and that we can trust God and that we can enjoy the blessings of God again for a little while. Cheer up. Be comforted. It's not near as bad as you think it is. It's worse. Amen. Here in this event that took place, and it was an event, it was not a story, it was not something somebody dreamed up, not something that somebody wrote down, but this is an event that took place recorded in the Word of God that you and I might read it, study it, and glean from it, that our lives might be cheered up, that we might have something to be glad about, something we could be excited about. It seemed like today most Baptists are not excited about anything. If you only knew, at any moment, Jesus is coming. If you only realize that just any time now, a trumpet's going to sound and the voice is going to ring out with a shout and we're going to take lift off. We're going to be caught up to meet Him in the air. And that's something that you can at least smile about. Some of you haven't smiled all day yet, but you need to smile over the fact that if you know that you know that you know you're saved by the grace of God, when that trumpet sounds and that voice rings out, you get to go with Him. Amen. Miss Louise Justice wrote a song several years ago, and not many people have heard it, but it's been a blessing to me. It says, I really do get to go. Amen. That ought to put a shout in the ice cube right there. If you're saved by the grace of God, it's not a fairy tale. It's not something that we just look forward to, but thank God we really do get to go. Hallelujah. Be comforted. Cheer up. Any minute now, Jesus is coming. In this event that took place, there was a man who was sick of the palsy. In other words, he was paralyzed. He could not help himself. He could not do anything on his own. May I remind you that those that are lost and undone without God can't do a thing about their problem. There is nobody that can lift themselves up. There's nobody that can do enough good deeds. There's nobody that can give enough good gifts to get into the family of God. They got to have some help from somewhere. And that help comes through by hearing the Word of God. Amen. You must hear the Word of God preached. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I'm glad I had no choice about the matter when I was growing up, whether or not we went to church. Amen. My mom, my dad made the decision a long time before I came along that they were going to church and whosoever was in the car had to go with them. Amen. And so when I was growing up, I had a drug problem. I did. I really did. I was drugged every service there was anywhere. We went Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, even on Saturday night. We went to cottage prayer meeting. We went wherever there's something going on for Jesus' sake. We were there. And I'm glad they made that decision and the drugs that I had made a mark on my life. And I hadn't got over it. It made an indelible mark that helped me to appreciate the old past wherein dwelleth a good way. Amen. I'm still excited about it. Y'all can sit there if you want to. I can have a spell by myself. I'm still excited about the fact I am saved. I love a good testimony that proclaims, I'm glad I've been saved. Well, hallelujah, I still am. Amen. I am eternally saved by the grace of God. I don't have to wait on the judgment to get everlasting life. I've already got it now. Amen. This man couldn't do a thing about his problem that he had. The lost and dying world can't do a thing about the problem they have, their sin problem. They've been born in sin and every one of them need a Savior. The way to be a friend to them is to present Jesus as the friend they need. Here this man laying down at his house, suffering, couldn't do anything for himself, but he had four good friends. You read Mark chapter number 2, you'll find out he had four good friends who came by his house, picked him up, laid him on a bed. Each one of them got a corner of the bed, and they headed for the house where they knew Jesus was going to be. It had been noise that Jesus was in the house. Thank God they didn't keep it a secret. It's amazing to me how many churches are trying to keep Jesus a secret. They sat there with a knot on their, like a knot on the log, sitting on their hands saying, bless me if you can. They're trying to keep the fact that they're saved a secret. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. If you're trying to keep him a secret, it's because you really don't know him. It's like the little girl said when she was about 4 years old. She had been to Sunday school one morning. She came home for lunch. She said, "Mama, my Sunday school teacher told me today that I need to ask Jesus into my heart." She said, "Well, honey, that's right. When the Spirit of God convicts you and you realize that you're lost, then it's time for you to ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart, to save you and become your Savior." She said, "But Mama, I don't understand. I'm just a little girl. And Jesus is a full-grown man. If I ask Jesus to come into my heart, won't that make him stick out all over?" That's the whole idea. Jesus wants to come into your life and stick out all over so that the rest of the world can see how good it is to be saved by the grace of God. They didn't try to keep it a secret. It was noise that Jesus was going to be in the house. Somebody had passed out some flyers. Somebody had put it on the radio. Somebody had passed out some cards. Somebody had knocked on a door or two. And they told everybody where Jesus was going to be and invited them to come and hear what he had to say. These men had heard about it. They were four good friends of this one man lying on the bed. And they picked him up and they headed in the direction of the house with the intention on their heart that he might meet friend number five. The grace of God was good. Glory, hallelujah, was going to do a work in his life. Now, I don't know how many obstacles they had to go through. I don't know how many hills they climbed, how many valleys they had to go through. I don't know how many mud holes they had to go around. I don't know how many times somebody hit him in the shoulder or bumped shoulders with them. But they didn't lay him down. They were under a burden. They had in their heart that they wanted to take their friend to the friend of friends that sticketh closer than a brother. And they wanted him to get to where Jesus was. They got under that burden and they weren't going to lay it down until they got the job done. It's not time to put your feelings on your shoulders and to get them bumped off so you can go to the house and sit down. It's time for you to get under that load and say, "I'm going to go with Jesus. I'm going to go with the plan of God. I'm going to be faithful to his house and faithful to the Lord to lift him up that others might be able to see him in me." They didn't give up. They made the journey from his house all the way to the house where Jesus was. But when they got there, there was a problem. The house was full. That's a real good problem to have when you get it. The house was full. They couldn't get in the door. They couldn't get in the window. None of them Baptists inside was going to move over at all. So why are you picking on Baptists? Because I are one. I've been a Baptist since 9 months before I was born. Amen. But I still am because I believe that's what the Bible teaches. But now they've got a real problem. What are they going to do? Baptist won't move over. Dear friend of mine, he's 95 now, still preaching the Word of God. 95 years old. Over there in the mountains of Western North Carolina at the age of 79, he was pastoring a little country Baptist church back there, preaching hell hot and heaven sweet. Gun barrel straight to get there. One day, some of the deacons came to him and said, "Preacher, he's 79. I said, "Preacher, you just preached too straight. We can't handle it. We'd rather you'd take it somewhere else." And so he and his wife shook the dust off of their feet and went to the house. A few days later, the phone rang. And the man on the other end of the phone said, "Preacher, I understand you're not pastor now." He said, "That's right." He said, "Well, right now we don't have a pastor." "Oh, really? Yeah, would you like to come preach for us?" "I sure would." And so they set up the Sunday he is going to go over there and preach. Him and his wife got in the car that morning, drove over to the church. When they got there, there wasn't a car in the lot. Wasn't anybody around. But when they got out, they went to the door. It was unlocked. And they went on in. They didn't find anybody in the building. They looked everywhere. Didn't see anybody there. My preacher friend said, "Now, honey, you go on in and sit down on a seat in there somewhere and read your Bible and pray for me that God will help us and we can have a good service here today. I'm going to go find that fellow that invited me to come preach." And so he headed on through the building looking for somebody else. His wife went in. She picked out a pew. Nobody there. She sat down on one, and she read her Bible a few minutes, and she prayed, and she asked God to help. And all at once, somebody tapped her on the shoulder. She looked up, and there stood a lady beside of her, and that lady looked at her and said, "You're in my seat." Baptist will do you that way. But Jesus will never do you that way. Amen. I'm glad it does not matter what the circumstance. If you'll go to him and say, "Lord, I'd like to get closer to you," he'll say, "Come on." Amen. When Peter wanted to come walking on the water to him, "Lord, if it be you, let me come to you." Come on. You'll never ask him if you can get closer to him, but what he won't say, "Come. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come, cast all your cares on me, for I care for you." He wants you to come. Every now and then he wants you to come and sit down in his lap so he can wrap his arms around and kiss on you a while. Amen. And they couldn't get in. Them Baptists wasn't going to move. They didn't know what to do. They looked at each other and one said, I think I got an idea. What is it?" "Well, I believe if we'll go up there on that roof and tear those tiles away, we can let him right down in the midst of the room where Jesus is." "Sounds good. Let's get at it." Yeah. Amen. They headed up on the roof. They began to tear those tiles away. Those Baptists down on the inside now have been hearing Jesus speak for some time. They've been in the very presence of God incarnate himself. God wrapped in flesh was walking among them, and the incarnate word was declaring himself to all those who would hear. Amen. But all at once there's a noise coming from the roof, and those Baptists are going, "What in the world are they doing up there? Don't they know that costs money? We never will get this place not to leak again." We've all time got some kind of excuse for not going the extra mile. God help us. I'm trying to help you. I really am. Now, they get their friend up there and they start letting him down into the room where Jesus is. And the Bible said when he saw their faith, they weren't about to give up. Matter of fact, he knew their faith, he knew their heart before they ever left the house down there with him. He who knows everything was already looking for them to get there. And now that they're there, somehow or another, I believe he looks up and says, "Good job, boys." I don't know about you, but if there's anybody I ever want to hear say good job, it's him. Of all the accolades, of all the good words that could ever be spoken to me, of all the pats on the back, I want to hear him say, "Good job, son." Amen. "You've been faithful over a few things." Amen. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen. Now, he's watching and he's declaring himself, the Lord is, and they're letting that man right down into the midst of the room. I believe before he ever got to the floor, Jesus looked at him and said, "Tharseo, be of good cheer. Son, be of good cheer. Be comforted. Thy sins be forgiven thee." Oh, my. If there's anything you ever need to have done, number one ought to be, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." The master of ocean, sea, and sky was now putting things, priorities in order. The number one problem that man had was to be forgiven of his sin. It was not to be healed from his paralysis, but to be healed of his sin sickness. Amen. The most important thing that ever happens to anybody is to get saved by the grace of God. to by faith be washed in the blood of the Lamb of God, to have the grace of God applied to your heart and life by faith. We're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. The most important thing that'll ever happen to you is to be saved by the grace. And if you can't get excited about getting saved by the grace of God, what in the world are you ever going to get excited about? There's absolutely nothing else to be compared with knowing that your name's written in the book of life in heaven, knowing that you've passed from death unto life. There's nothing to compare with that. You can't get excited about that. Don't ever get excited about nothing else. I've seen folks at football games jump up and holler and scream, and they'll watch a piece of pigskin fly down through the air and somebody catch it and run across a painted line on the ground. And they jump up and down and squeeze that hot dog till the weenie flies out of it and mustard and ketchup goes everywhere. And they're not one bit embarrassed about how excited they got over that. The winning touchdown was scored on Calvary. The winning basket was scored on Calvary. The winning home run was done on Calvary when Jesus paid sin's debt for whosoever would believe and trust in Him. If you, glory to God, if you can't get excited about that, don't get excited about nothing else. Amen. Son, Tharseo, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. That old boy's never heard anything like that before. There he lays. He don't know where he can move or not. You know, I didn't know what it was like till I got saved. I didn't know what I'd feel like. I didn't know what I'd see. Didn't know what was going to take place in my life till I got saved by the grace of God. Then I didn't know how to act. Amen. I'd never been saved before. Now, I've had people tell me they've been saved 4, 5, 6, 7 times. One fellow told me one night, he said, I've been saved 7 times. I said, really? I ain't got over what he did for me one time. I don't think I could handle it 7 times. Son, be of good cheer. There he's laying in the floor. And he's never felt like he feels right now. He don't know whether he can move. He don't know what to do. He's laying there, and I believe he's laying there with tears dripping off of his chin. But there's some folks over here in the corner that don't like it. And they're always there. Now, these Pharisees, these religious folks over here, they didn't like it. They looked at each other and they said, who's this guy think he is? They've been there in the room with him for some time now. They've had a prime seat. They've been close enough to touch him while he's talking, and they still don't know who he is. This is God wrapped in flesh standing among them, and they didn't know who he was. This guy's blaspheming. Nobody can forgive sins but God. There he stood, and they didn't know it. Amen. There's a whole lot of folks got their name on a church roll somewhere, but they still don't know the God who put them there. They're church members. They go just by the rudiments of how everybody else does, and they behave themselves just like everybody else, but they still don't know who saved them. They have no relationship with Him. Amen. Now, Jesus looks and said, why do you think that way in your heart? Whether it's easy. Now, this is not an itinerant preacher. Benny Hinn's not making a visit to town. This is God come in flesh, and he's standing there, and he says, whether it be right to you, whether it's easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee, or arise, take up thy bed and walk, you judge. But just so you'll know, just so you'll know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He looks it back at that old boy that's still laying there and don't know what to do and had never felt like that before, and says, son, take up your bed and go on back to your house. Imagine how that old boy felt when he rolled off of there on his knees and sat up. Do you think it looked like somebody done licked all the red off of his sucker? No. I believe he is a grinning from ear to ear. I think he is a shouting. I think he's having himself a spell because he's never done that before. That's something that's happened to him that nobody else had ever tried to do. And now he rolls that bed up. And when he rolls that bed up, he throws it over his shoulder. And he grins at everybody. And he walks out the door. By this time, them Baptists are falling by the wayside to get out of the way because they ain't never seen nothing like that before. They're totally amazed at what's taking place in this man's life. He came in there being carried. And now he's carrying what they brought him in on. Amen. He's walking out the door and all of them are saying, "We ain't never seen it on this fashion before." Amen. Tharseo, be of good cheer. He's still able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. He's the God that knows, that can, and that will. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, and changeth not. He's perfectly willing to do what needs to be done that the best might be accomplished in your life. Some of you didn't get that. He's perfectly willing to do what might be accomplished as best in your life. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. That's in a King James Bible. That's not some off-brand. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, it shall be granted unto you. That's in that King James Bible. That's not my opinion. I wouldn't have wrote it that way. Amen. Be of good cheer. He loves you with a love that is beyond your ability to comprehend. He wants to do for you exactly what is best. The reason you don't have it is if you either ask amiss, or you ask lacking faith, or you ask for something that was not the best for you. Sometimes he has to say no, because there's a better yes. I thank God tonight that there have been some prayers that I have prayed that he said no to. Because I found out a little while later he could do it better than I could think of it. Things I don't understand. Really don't have to. Because he does. Because he does. So Tharseo, be of good cheer. He ain't going to hurt you. He's going to help you. All things still work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I didn't say all things would be good. But he works everything to the good. Tharseo, be of good cheer. Peter got out of the boat and headed toward the Lord. Jesus had come walking in the midst of the night. Third watch of the night, he comes. They're absolutely wore out. They've been working all day. They're the ones that had to distribute the food to 22,500 people. So how do you get that? 5,000 men, at least 5,000 women, and all their children. So there was at least 22,500 that Jesus had fed that day with a little lad's lunch. The disciples were tired. They was wore out. Jesus said, "Boys, get in the boat and go to the other side, and I'll meet you there." But in the midst of that storm, he comes a-walking on the water to them. They're scared to death. They're seeing a figure coming a-walking on the water. And the first words they hear are, "Tharseo, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid." No matter what, glory to God, no matter what storm you may be going through, just keep a listening, just keep a looking, because he's going to come a walking. He's promised that he would. When they were gathered together, Jesus had already told them, and they were down and out. They were depressed. They didn't know what to do. Jesus said, "I'm going away and you can't go." They were disturbed over the fact that he said, I must needs go away and you can't go. Where I'm going, you can't go right now. Lord, we want to go with you. We've been with you for the last 3 years. We walked with you. We've ate with you. We've slept with you. We've been everywhere you've been, and we just want to go with you. Yeah, but you can't go right now. I got need for you to stay. But be of good cheer. Darceo, I have overcome the world. And because I have, you will too. Be of good cheer. I'm not going to fail you. I'm not going to let you down. I'm going to go with you all the way, even unto the end. I'm going to hold your hand. When you can't walk, I'll pick you up and carry you. I'm going to be there for you all the way, even unto the end. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Be of good cheer. I've overcome. You will too. I know what you're going through. I know what you're facing. I know all the things about your life ahead. I want you to be of good cheer. Because I'm able to take care of it. No matter what you may be facing tonight, Jesus is able to take care of it. He's the answer. He's the remedy. He's the cure. Yeah. Be of good cheer. Stand to your feet, please.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence. We're thankful, Lord, for tonight. We're thankful for the man of God, Lord, that brought the message tonight. Lord, I know it helped me. God, we just pray for the remainder of the meeting. We pray, God, that you would work in hearts and lives. Lord, we pray, God, that the Spirit of God, Lord, would fall fresh on this place, God. Lord, we just pray, God, for the power, Lord. I just pray that there would be many things, Lord God, that would come out of this meeting, God. I pray, God, that you'd give this meeting souls. I pray, God, that you'd call young men, Lord, into the ministry, Lord, through this meeting. God, we're so thankful, God, for this place. Lord, we're thankful for Pastor. God, I'm so thankful for what you're doing here. Lord, go with us through the remainder of this meeting. We ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.